Well, I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles, if you would please, back to 2 Chronicles and chapter 34. Of course, that's where we were for the scripture reading. And we're going to take up where we left off. We left off with verse 13. We read through verse 13 as we began. Hopefully, you remember that we read about a king named Josiah, and he was one of the latter kings in the kingdom of Judah. Not long after Josiah's reign, they would go into captivity to Babylon. Josiah was preceded by some kings who turned the nation of Judah away from the Lord and to serve Baalim. Baalim is a term for gods that were the gods of the people around them. It's a plural term for the gods of the nations around them. And they were serving those gods, even though the God of Israel had commanded them that they would obey him and worship him only. And Josiah, as he became king, he had a tender heart, and he began to lead them back to following the Lord. And part of that was, as he had been a king for many years, about 18 years, if I remember right, he began to cleanse the temple where God would be worshiped properly. And he raised some funds to build the temple up again where it had been destroyed, and gave that money to those who had kind of had that restoration of the temple up. And so they began that work. And that's where we take up now in verses 14 and 15. So with that in mind, follow with me as I read out loud verses 14 and 15 of 2 Chronicles 34. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. And Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. We see here that as they cleansed the temple, the priest, Hilkiah, was cleaning and taking things out of the temple that shouldn't have been there and doing the repair work. And we don't know exactly where, but he found in the temple a book of the law of the Lord. That would be the law that God gave through Moses the prophet. As the children of Israel came out of Egypt and were headed to the promised land, very early in that time, God gave Moses the law. We think of that most often as the Ten Commandments. We find those in Exodus 20 and in Deuteronomy a second time. We find those commandments. But it wouldn't be just the Ten Commandments. It was many of the commandments of God. And really, we could sum up the law in the first five books of the Bible that we hold in our hands. But Hilkiah found a book of the law of the Lord, which tells us that it was a book that was somewhat rare to them. It had kind of fallen into disuse, and they hadn't looked at the law of God very often. We can tell that by the fact that it was a surprise to everyone that he had found this book, and he delivers it to the hand of the scribe, Shaphan, who is going to then take it to the king. This morning, I want to preach a message to you based on that passage of Scripture, and I would title the message this way, I have found the book. I have found the book. That comes right from Hilkiah's words. I found the book of the law of the Lord. And I want to make an application to us today. And I want to pretend today, I'm not really a priest in the same sense that Hilkiah was, although any believer is a priest in Christ. He's made us kings and priests, the Bible says. But I don't want to set myself up as if I were, you know, some special person like that. That's not what I'm trying to do. But just for illustration's sake this morning, I want to say that in this situation, I want to take the place of Hilkiah here and say to each of the fathers, I have found the book of the law of the Lord. And when I say that, I mean I found the Bible. And what I want to do this morning is present it to you, dads, fathers, husbands, to all of us really, but especially the dads, because in a similar way, you are the ruler over a kingdom. We make light of that sometimes. I don't know about in your home, but in our home, when I was a child, there was a certain chair that was dad's chair. And we joked with him and said that that was his throne. And when dad was sitting on his throne, he was ruling on the court of his house. And my dad really was one of those kind of dads, the good kind who really did rule with, yes, an iron fist sometimes, but with love as well. And it was comfortable and convenient to be at home because everyone knew who was in charge in our home, and it was Dad. By the way, that's the way it ought to be. And dads, I want to encourage you that you are, in one sense or another, the ruler in a kingdom. That home is yours to rule in, to make decisions and lead, not as a dictator, not as a brutal commander, but as a loving, benevolent king over that household. And I want to say to you this morning, to all the dads, I found the book of the law of the Lord. And I want to encourage you to follow in the footsteps of Josiah. This morning, we're going to see 8 different things that Josiah did when it was presented to him that Hilkiah had found the book. And I want to encourage you, dads, and really all of us, but especially the dads, to follow Josiah's example. Let's pray, and then I'll get right into those 8 things that Josiah did with the book. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given us the great privilege to be fathers this morning. I know that not everyone here is a father. There are many ladies with us, and also there are men who are not fathers. Lord, we want as well you to make an application to them. All of us can learn from this as well. We ought to all do this in our own personal life. But Lord, especially with the fathers this morning, I ask that you would enable all of us as dads to take what we hear and learn from this passage of Scripture and follow in Josiah's footsteps. Help us with that, I pray. Now, Lord, would you bless your people? Give all of us ears to hear. Lord, if there's anybody this morning within the sound of my voice that has yet to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to have forgiveness of sins and to be cleared of that condemnation that we're all under by nature, Lord, I pray that you would open their eyes of understanding this morning that they might believe the gospel and be saved. I pray that you would do it, Lord. Only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. I have found the book. Well, as Hilkiah delivered the book of the law of the Lord into the hands of Shaphan the scribe, let's read on in verse number 16 and see what Shaphan did with that book. Verse 16, and Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. And they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. The first thing that I see from this passage of Scripture that Josiah did with the book when it was delivered to him is he received the book. Now that word and that wording is not used here in this passage of Scripture, but it is inferred because as Shaphan the scribe brought this book to the king and he reported that Hilkiah had found the book, the Bible says he read it to the king. And I guarantee you he did not read that without the king's permission. In fact, the king would have commanded him to read it. Those things did not happen. He didn't just walk in there and say, hey, king, put your phone down. I've got something I want to tell you. Right? As he would have entered the court of the king, he would have been given entrance and only would have done whatever he did with permission. So I submit to you this morning that Josiah began by receiving the book. And this morning, I want to encourage all of us as dads here and all of us in general that the first thing we ought to do, knowing that we have the book of the law of the Lord, is we need to receive it. Dads, I want to encourage you to receive that. You might say, well, Pastor, how can I receive it? I mean, I have a Bible in my hand. Is that receiving it? And no, that's not what I believe would be receiving it. The first thing I would say is this. You receive the Word of God when you come to a church service like this, as you did this morning, and you're sitting here listening to the preaching of God's Word. That's a good thing. You're listening to it being presented, just as Josiah did, and that's a good thing. This isn't the only place that you ought to receive the Word of God. You need to receive it daily, dads. You need to receive it daily by having a time that you set aside every day, and I would encourage you, let it be in the beginning part of the day. It doesn't have to be, But that's my personal opinion. It should be as much as possible. The beginning of the day, the very first thing you do, take some time every day, read the Word of God. That is the one way that you can receive it. And I'm not going to preach a message on the importance of daily Bible reading, but all of our church members here this morning, you know that we emphasize that around here. We put a daily Bible reading schedule in the bulletin every week. Why? So that we can get in the habit of reading the Bible. Dads, you cannot be the dad that you need to be if you're not receiving the Word of God. You need to be daily reading it, and by the way, you need to be, just as you did this morning, bringing your family to church on a regular basis. Let this place be a place that you make a commitment. We are going to be there. I won't take the time and the effort to preach a message on it this morning, but I will take just a moment to say, I was thinking last night, talking with some of my family about how what a blessing it is to know the Lord, to walk with the Lord, to be a Christian. It's a great privilege, and there's a lot of things in life that I have not had to endure because I'm a Christian and try my best to follow God's word. It saved me from a lot of heartache. And last night, as I was talking with my family, I referenced the fact that, you know, I can thank the previous generation, my father, for leading me in that way. I didn't come up with this on my own as far as, it's not that I'm brighter or smarter than anybody else. My parents raised me in this, and I've been able to escape a lot of heartache by just doing what they taught me to do, to follow the Word of God. And then I thought, you know what, it actually goes back a generation beyond that and probably beyond that. Though my grandparents did not know the Lord in their early years the same way that my dad did and the same way that I have, my grandparents were very religious people. And though they at the time were not saved, they got saved late in life, but in the beginning of their life they were not saved, they were every Sunday, from what my dad told me, every single Sunday in church without fail. And you know that now, generations later, I reap the benefit of that? Because my grandparents, and probably my great-grandparents before that, and it might go back, I don't know how many generations, they followed the Lord in that regard, that they heard the Word of God. I'm thankful for that. But let's go back to 2 Chronicles 34. Let's see what else Josiah did. He didn't stop with receiving it. It says in verse number 18 at the end that Shaphan read it before the king. Now look at verse 19. And it came to pass when the king had heard the words of the law that he rent his clothes. We'll get to that in just a moment, but that was a habit, that was a custom in that day. When you were in mourning, when something bad happened to you, that was a custom. They had a couple of layers of clothing. They would have an inner layer of clothing similar to what we would wear on the average day out and about. But beyond that, they would have had an outer layer of clothing that would be similar to a robe and things like that. And so it was a custom when something bad happened to you, a relative died, or you know, financially you had fallen into a mess or something, you would rip that outer layer of clothing. That's what the king did here. But the reason he did that is because he heard the Word of God. Now you might say, but Pastor, you already told us that. He received the Word of God. It was read to him. Yes, but listen, he went beyond just letting it be read in his presence. He heard the Word of God. He heard the Word of God in this regard. It affected him. His life was changed, and that was evidenced by the fact that he tore his outer clothing. He rent his clothes in mourning for what he heard in despair. Listen, it had an effect on him, which means that as he heard it, he wasn't just hearing it for information. He was hearing it with an attitude of obedience. And I would submit to you this morning that although I'm glad you're here and I hope you continue to come week after week after week, and not just Sunday morning, but Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, make it a pattern in your life. You will never regret it. I want to encourage you with that. But listen, it is not enough to just come and let the sound waves go in one ear and out the other, so to speak. You and I need to not only receive the Word of God, we need to hear the Word of God. That's what Josiah did. In other words, you and I need to hear it with an attitude to obey it. Turn quickly with me to the book of James. James chapter number 1. James is toward the end of the Bible, a little bit before Revelation. There's a couple of books between James and Revelation. But if you find the book of Hebrews, it's right after Hebrews, okay? James chapter number 1, and I'm going to look at verse 22. James 1 and verse 22. We'll read verses 22 to 25. And I want you to see here that it's not enough just to hear the word of God as in sound waves going in your ear. James 1 and verse 22 tells us something else. It says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." God's blessing is upon the one who hears the word of God with an attitude to obey it, a doer of the word. The Bible here likens us when we come and we are in a church service like this, or maybe in our daily Bible reading, and we see what the word of God says, but we don't really have an intent to obey it. We are like somebody who looks in the mirror religiously. I'm not talking about teenagers now. I'm talking about anybody who looks at the mirror religiously, but they never change anything. They get up in the morning and, you know, their hair is all a mess and they have drool marks from down on their cheek and their clothes are a mess and who knows what else is going on and the other problems that they have. I won't gross you out, but we all know we get up every morning, all of us. And they look in the mirror and they say, huh, and they walk away. And maybe they get ready for work and, you know, they don't realize it, but they do what I have done in the past, and that is accidentally put on one brown shoe and one black shoe. Don't ask me how I did it. I did it. And I made a pastoral visit like that one time. That was embarrassing. They never told me if they noticed. And they later became members of the church. It wasn't here. It was at a different church. They later became members, so either they felt sorry for me or they didn't notice. But listen, it's like looking in the mirror and seeing that you have a brown shoe and a black shoe on and then just going, wow, that's an interesting color choice, and moving on, right? What good does it do you to look at the mirror if you don't have an attitude that I'm going to change if things don't look appropriate in the mirror? That's what we're like when we hear the word of God, when we come to church, when we read it on a daily basis, but we don't really come with an attitude of, Lord, whatever you tell me is wrong, I'll change. That's foolish. Rather, we should come with an attitude of obedience to God's word. And I see that in Josiah, though it is not strictly mentioned as such, it is indicated by the fact that he rent his clothes. He heard it with an attitude to obey. But then we did see again that he humbled himself by tearing the outer clothing. And I would say that is the third thing that we ought to learn from Josiah as fathers, that when the word of God is brought to us, let's humble ourselves. That's what Josiah did. He rent his clothes. That's not something a king did every day. That's not something normally that a king would do. Kings don't humble themselves. They're the supreme ruler of the land. That's strange that a king would put himself on a lower level as if he was some kind of a pauper. But Josiah wasn't as worried about his own pride as he was getting things right. And you know, many times as fathers, we can be like the average king. I'm encouraged, and I want to encourage you by the fact that God has made you, as the husband and father of your home, God has made you the leader. You are to lead the home. That's a wonderful thing. But sometimes we fall into the trap that many kings did in the Bible, and that is we think that because God has made us ruler, that we don't need to humble ourselves. That no one ever ought to see us in a moment of vulnerability, that no one would ever see a crack in the armor, so to speak. And I've got to put on this facade as if Dad never gets anything wrong and Dad never has to humble himself. Friends, if that's your idea, you've got it all wrong. Being a king of your castle, so to speak, being the leader of your home, does not mean that there aren't times that you need to humble yourself. In fact, I would say probably more than most, we need to humble ourselves because it is an intimidating thing to be the ruler, the leader in a home. much of what will transpire in the coming years is based on how I will lead my home today. And I can tell you for myself, number one, that's scary for the future. I still have a couple who are young in the home. But it's also embarrassing to think about the many ways that I've messed up in the past. So I need to humble myself. Look what the Bible says in the book of James. The book of James. So again, we were in James chapter number 1. Let's go back there now to James 4. And here's the thing. Yesterday, as we were finishing up with the men's camp out, the father-son camp out, we, of course, heard some preaching there, and I preached a little bit on what dads ought to be like and what they ought to do. It was encouragement and a blessing to be able to do that. One of the fathers talked to me a little bit afterwards, and as many times fathers will do, he said, you know, that was an encouragement. I thank you for the message, and it just makes me feel bad for the way that I've failed in many ways. And of course, all of us as fathers, if we're honest, we feel that way. I know I do. But as I was driving home and thinking about what that father said to me, it reminded me of James chapter 4 and verse 6. Here's the hope, men. James 4 and verse number 6. Speaking of God, it says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." So what is the hope for a father who looks back on what he's done and says, "I've failed in so many ways. I haven't been what I should be." And even looking to the future, I know myself and I have a desire to do right, but when it comes time to actually perform it, I don't do all that I should do. What hope is there? Friend, the hope is humility. Because God will give grace. He will step in and supernaturally help if you will have the courage to humble yourself. To not pretend as if there's no kinks in the armor, to not pretend as if you've got it all settled and nobody needs to tell me anything. I know what I'm doing and I can move forward. But if you will humble yourself before the Lord and humble yourself even before others and say, "I'm a broken individual who struggles and I need help. Lord, help me. I'm going to obey you if you'll just give me the help." God will step in and help you. And again, I can tell you, I brag a lot about my dad. I generally will say these things. My dad was not a perfect father, and he would have been the first one here to tell you that. Some of you know a little bit of my family history, and you know things were not perfect in our home. Not by a long shot. And yet today, by God's grace, all of us who are still alive are serving the Lord, not perfectly, but serving the Lord. Several of us are preachers. All of that in a home that was broken and dysfunctional in many ways. But here's what I credit that to. Both my dad as well as my mom humbled themselves before the Lord, and God stepped in and gave grace. God gets all the glory. And I'm thankful for that. And I think it was because of humility. Dads, I want to encourage you, follow in Josiah's footsteps. Humble yourself. Receive the book, hear the book, humble yourself. But then let's go back to 2 Chronicles 34. Let's see what else he did. He received it, he heard it, he humbled himself. Let's look on and see in verse number 20 now of 2 Chronicles 34. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and Abdon, the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah, a servant of the king, saying, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book." So they end up going to a prophetess, which, by the way, that in and of itself tells us where the nation of Judah was at that time. But they went to a prophetess nonetheless, and she gave them a message from the Lord. So here's what the application I want to make to us. Not only did he humble himself, but then he inquired of the Lord. He had heard the book. He recognized that it cast judgment on them because they could not say that they had obeyed the law of God. So he knew it brought bad news. He humbled himself about that, but he went beyond humbling himself and inquired of the Lord. In other words, this, he knew what the Bible said, but now he wanted God to make personal application to him. Lord, what does this mean for us today. Dads, I want to encourage you to follow in Josiah's footsteps in this regard. You've heard the word of God. Hopefully you have an attitude to hear it. Hopefully you'll humble yourself. But now, inquire of the Lord, what does that mean for me? How do I make a personal application of this book? It's not enough to know the facts of the book and what God says, but Lord, what about me? My circumstances are unique from everyone else's. My wife is different than so-and-so's wife or the pastor's wife or any other woman. My wife is unique and I need to lead her. My children are unique and each one of them is distinct one from the other. Lord, I need wisdom for them individually. How can I make application to my life and to theirs? How can I lead? Lord, I need to inquire of you. Now, you and I have an advantage from Josiah. Josiah had to go to a prophetess or a prophet, somebody who spoke for the Lord. If you're a Christian here today, you don't have to go to a prophet to find out the personal application of God's word. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. As you read God's word, as you hear the preaching of his word, the Holy Spirit can make personal application to you. When you're dealing with that difficult child at home, God can give you special wisdom and grace for how to deal with that individual child. And it's not that it's wrong to ask advice. I would encourage you to ask advice. Because sometimes we need another voice to tell us that doesn't seem right or that doesn't sound right. But that's not where we don't go to that source of information to tell us exactly what to do. The Holy Spirit has to lead us. So he inquired of the Lord. But let's see what else he did. Let's jump a few verses here. Verse 29. Then the king sent and gathered together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. So we're in verse 30 of 2 Chronicles 34. And the king went up into the house of the Lord and all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem and the priests and the Levites and all the people great and small. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant that was found in the house of the Lord. I wonder if you caught anything very unique in verse 30. I did. Who did the reading of the book? The king. He gathered all the people together after he had heard the words. After the prophetess had said to him, we didn't read those verses, but the prophetess said, there's great wrath from the Lord. God's angry because the nation of Judah has forsaken him. But Josiah, because you humbled yourself, there's going to be some grace given to you and the kingdom during your time. But God's wrath is coming. So here's what Josiah did. Josiah then gathered them all together and said, come, let's meet together in Jerusalem. Get everybody, the leaders of all the tribes that are represented, bring them. And then here's what he did. He opened up the book and read it to them. That was very unusual for that day. Kings didn't do that. Kings would gather the people together, but he had a scribe for that. He had messengers who would give the message to the people. But Josiah didn't do that. He read it to the people. I want to encourage you dads that you have a responsibility to be the one to let your family know what God's message is. I'm glad that you bring them to church, and I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers and those who teach junior church, and on Wednesday nights, the kids club that we have and different things that we have. That's wonderful. That's a blessing. It's a privilege. But that is not primarily my responsibility in your home, Dad. That's your job. Gather the family together and read the Bible to them. Doesn't have to be long passages of Scripture. Doesn't have to be, you know, we're going to start with the most difficult first, and my 2 and 3-year-old, I'm going to sit them down and we're reading through the genealogies. Here we go, kids. Buckle up. I wouldn't encourage you to do that, all right? But age appropriate, understanding your audience, gather them together and spend a few moments reading God's word to them. Talk to them about the things of God. Take the lead in that way. Don't leave it to mom. Don't leave it to the Sunday school teachers. Don't leave it to the preacher. You do it. Deuteronomy 6 tells us of that. We won't turn there. But it says that we should be talking of the law of God when we are sitting down, when we're laying down, when we rise up, when we're walking in the way. Everywhere we go, we ought to be talking about the word of God. Let's go back to 2 Chronicles and let's see what else he did. Verse 31, and the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. So here's what else he did after he gathered everybody together and read the book to them. He made a covenant between him and God. That's what that verse says. In the presence of everybody there, after he read the book, he didn't say, now listen, you guys make sure you do this. God's angry with us, and it's your fault. I've just been the king for a few years. I took the throne when I was 8 years old. Not my problem that you guys are doing wrong. He didn't do any of that. He brought them together. He read the book of the law of God to them, and then here's what he said. I make a promise, a solemn vow before God that I personally am going to obey the words of the law that we just read. My personal decision, I'm going to follow the Lord. You know, that's a good example for us as dads. The very first place we ought to start is not pointing the finger at everybody else. And boy, if my wife was different, I'd have a good home. Boy, if my kids were just like so-and-so's kids, then we could have a good home. And yeah, God's angry with us, but it's not because of me, it's my family. That's the wrong way to look at it. We ought to, as dads, take the lead and say, I don't know what you're going to do, wife. I'm not sure, children, how you're going to react, but I can promise you this, by God's grace, I am going to do right. Regardless of if my wife wants to or not, regardless of if the kids follow me, I'm going to take the lead and do right. That's, by the way, that's real leadership. Leadership isn't pushing others to do right. Leadership is showing them the way. Follow me as I do right. Dads, that's what you are supposed to do. And I'm glad that he did this. It reminds me of Joshua in Joshua 24 and verse 15, where Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As he was talking to Israel, he was saying, I'm not sure what you're going to do, but I can tell you how I'm going to lead my family. And I would encourage all of us as dads to do the same thing. Then look what it says in verse number 32. And he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. He started with making a covenant himself, and then he caused those who were under his influence to follow his lead. That's the way of leadership, dads. There is a realm of authority that you have within the home, dad. That you have the authority to lead people and to say, listen, sweetheart, wife, you need to follow me. This is what we need to do. I'm going this way, and I want to encourage you, you need to follow me. Let's go this way. And to the children, definitely, who have leadership in their life, and it is your responsibility to lead them. And I know our culture has taught you the exact opposite. But the reason our culture has taught you the exact opposite is Satan hates every father here. Satan hates you and he hates your leadership because he knows if he can take you out, he's got the family a lot easier. But if you will stand strong, Satan has a much harder time leading the family astray. So I want to remind you, you are the leader of your home. And you need to lead in love and care. But listen, you need to lead. Don't let your wife lead. You lead. Definitely don't let your children lead. Little Johnny and Susie don't get to run the show. It's not about them and what they feel like and what their preferences are. That's why God gave them parents. And like I joked about a couple of weeks ago, learn that very difficult word. It's only one syllable, rolls off the tongue. It's the word no. Learn that one and use it often. It's good for kids to hear it. No, we're not doing that. We're doing this. Lead and do so lovingly. Do so with a smile on your face. Have joy in your heart. you'd be surprised how kids will actually be glad that you told them no. If you can learn to do it with a smile on your face, and after you tell them no, you give them a big hug and a kiss and say, come on, let's go have some fun in an area where we can have fun. Let's go. And you lead them in that, you watch. They'll follow joyfully, but you lead. And then let's look at the last thing. This is the eighth thing that he did, and we ought to follow his leadership. Verse 33, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel and made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Lastly, Josiah took away the abominations. He received the word, he heard it, he humbled himself, he inquired of the Lord, he read the book to his kingdom, he made a covenant for himself, he caused those under his lead, under his headship to follow him, and then he lastly took away all the abominations. We need to remember that there are some things that God hates in this world. Look with me, if you would, at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. I'll start reading Ephesians 5, verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. It is a good reminder for us that there are some things in this world that God hates. And God lists several of them there. Fornication and uncleanness and covetousness and idolatry and things like that that God hates. And the writer of Ephesians, Paul the Apostle, reminded the church at Ephesus, don't let anybody deceive you. The wrath of God is coming on this world because of those things. And so I should then, because God hates those things, I need to get rid of them in my own life. By the way, I start there. I can't be a hypocrite and make sure that everyone else is doing right before I change. I need to start here, get rid of the abominations in my life. Those things, that fornication, that uncleanness, that covetousness, all of those things that God lists there and many others, get rid of them. If the Holy Spirit of God directs me and says that's wrong, I need to be willing to get rid of it. And then beyond that, in my home, I get rid of those things. Dads, I want to encourage you, take the lead in that. You should be the one to be making decisions. What type of entertainment as a household are we going to allow? Dad, you lead in that way. And take a strong stand. I realize that you're going to face some flack. Welcome to leadership. Welcome to manhood. It's okay. You'll make it. Gird up your loins like a man and lead. God will enable you and help you. And again, do it with a smile and with joy. But lead. Get rid of those abominations. Let the Word of God guide you in that. And I tell you what, here's one thing I promise you with the Lord's help, men. I will pray for you that God helps you. And I would ask you, you pray for me as God helps me. That in each of our respective homes, we would follow Josiah's leadership to take the lead because we found the book. We know what God expects. Let's find the book, or let's obey and follow the book that we found. As we close this morning here, we're going to take just a moment and say this. The very first thing we should recognize about those abominations that God hates is the fact that because of them, the wrath of God is on this world. This world is headed headlong into the judgment of God. And there's coming a day when we will all stand before God and give an account for our life, every one of us. And the Bible is clear that there is none righteous, not even one. That means me, that means you. There isn't a one of us that is going to stand before God and say, got it. Did it all right, no problems. The wrath of God is coming for this world, and we're all guilty. There is one way of escape, and that is to take God's way of salvation. And if we will take God's way of salvation, we can escape the wrath of God. And that way of salvation is His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus put it in His own words in John chapter 3, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that all the world through Him might be saved." Jesus came into this world to suffer and die on the cross for my sin and yours. He rose again from the dead. God gave Him victory over death and hell and the grave. And now all who believe on Him are given forgiveness of sins, and we can be freed and are freed from the wrath of God if we believe on Jesus Christ. That is the only way of salvation. And so this morning as we close, I want to ask you just kind of a rhetorical question. Have you believed on Jesus Christ? Are your sins forgiven? If not, then you need to do that today, because the wrath of God is coming for this world. If you have questions about it, if you want to know more, you can ask me after the service, or really you could almost ask anyone here in the auditorium, but you can ask me if you'd like, and I'd be glad to share more information with you about that. Let's stand. We'll have a brief time of invitation. We'll give people an opportunity to come to the altar and pray if God spoke to their hearts. I'm going to pray, and then our piano player is going to play a hymn of invitation. Lord, we thank You for what You've given us today. Thank You for the book that we have in our hands. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves, to hear it with an attitude to obey it. Would You help us as well to get rid of the abominations, to lead our families? Lord, I pray for the fathers here today. Help them, enable them in a very supernatural way, we pray. And then, Lord, if there's anybody within the sound of my voice that has not believed on Jesus Christ, grant them faith and repentance to do so today. In Jesus' name, amen.